We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
Our jobs market is so strong that businesses are recruiting the former prisoners off the sidelines.
Then there has to be a consequence for lying, but 9 years is too much.
I was just wondering if you were wearing black as a consequence of, like, the death of the political left in the debate last night.
Bloomberg Titanic, meet iceberg Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, that's a boy. That's the case, isn't it? I've heard so many people the last couple of days say that Bloomberg is done. I guess we'll find out now more than before if money is enough to keep him in this race. He would have to have a tremendous outcome in the South to get back into this thing at this point.
Be interesting to see what adjustments he makes before the next debate.
If he does. And here's the
He's
thing,
got
it
to.
Had to be arrogance, just had to be arrogance. That's it. How else do you get around that? I don't know. But good morning to you. Glad you're with us. It is Friday. It is cold outside. I'll just tell you that now. If you park your car outside, plan to have to scrape this morning or at least warm the car up a little bit with your defroster. I'm not saying start it ahead
of time.
I was
going to say, be careful there.
So
people
this
are
is
stealing cars.
This is I had the strangest conversation with a police officer the other day, who tells me, I said, "How are things going?" I'm not going to identify the city, but he said, "Oh, it would be great if people would stop starting their cars in the morning." And I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And he goes, "Well, this morning we only had one car stolen. Sometimes we have as many as five per day." Mm-hmm. Where people start their car. He said the other day somebody was just rearranging cars in their driveway like they needed to get this car out. So they backed one up onto the street, left it running, got out to go get in the other car to pull it out of the driveway. Somebody drove up, hopped out of the passenger side of another car, jumped into the car that was running and drove off with it. People are driving around looking for cars to steal. What the hell have we come to in America? And you know why? Because you can't steal cars these days like you used to by breaking into the steering column. Mm-hmm. These newer cars, the technology has defeated that.
Yeah.
So you have to find a car that somebody's driving in which you carjack them, or you have to find one that somebody already started and left the door unlocked. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess if you get a remote start, I didn't know this.
Yeah,
I don't have
start.
One. If you have a remote start, you can start the car, the doors stay locked, and if somebody actually breaks in and tries to drive it, the car turns itself off.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in a position where you're not able to park, and like if you're always having to park outside and you're having to deal with that, I would save and do the auto start.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. I saw a Groupon for that the other day. I'll just try to help you out here a little bit. Isn't that great? News you can use. Anyway, so happy that you're with us. Hey, we're on Facebook Live this morning. I keep reminding people of that, but you can go to the Mark Cox Show there on Facebook.
And now Mark's lighting
watch
is good,
the show.
So.
I have improved my lighting, and let's go ahead and get to our guest so I can talk to her about this, please.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Back up, you creep. So beat the drum with me. Get away from me. I'm not America,
sweetheart. Annie Fry of the Annie Fry Show joining us right now. And Annie, good morning to you.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
I'm doing good. Fine. You're young and you're lovely, and we love watching you on the Facebook Live that you do every day on
Sounds
your
like
show.
A really big butt coming up here. I don't know.
I, however, am not young and lovely anymore. And I was noticing on this camera here that it, you know, in the you know, it's darker in here in the mornings, and there's just not as much light. And I'm thinking, my
we
hair
just look better in the
my
dark.
My hair looks really gray, and I look so bad on this camera. So I found this globe light in here. I think maybe Glover might have had it in here. And I've set it up next to my computer to give me some of that low-level kind of Dan Rather lighting, the way they used to light him on CBS News to hide the bags as he started getting a little long in the tooth. And I'm getting good reaction from it this morning. What do you think?
Sounds great. I have not thought
that. Okay. That's all right.
I'm sure with you.
I'm sure we tilt the lights up in the ceiling a little bit to properly light the studio.
Sure,
but,
sure.
You know, that is Dave's light, and I'm sure he would be very, very happy to share it with you.
I will be sure and put it back when I'm done, but I've set it up for today, and I'm getting good reaction from Facebook. So I just wanted to let you know, if you come in here at some point and I've forgotten to move it, you'll know why it was sitting there. How about that?
No, that sounds fantastic.
Good.
I'll give it a shot today.
Good, yeah. So you know, I noticed somebody absent from TV yesterday. I don't know why, because for the first 24 hours he got out of prison, Rod Blagojevich was on every TV screen I looked at. And now suddenly he's gone silent. I wonder what's going on. Are you worried about him?
I am not worried about Rod Blagojevich. I am worried about his wife, man. She's real handsy. She, like, is physically maneuvering him through, like, he came out and did his little, it's like his first campaign speech. I don't know what he's running for, but he seems to be very, he seems to have thought about that moment quite a bit over the last 8 years. And his delivery was uncomfortably poetic. But his face was bleeding because he had never shaved with a regular razor for 8 years. And I'm like, well, maybe they don't shave right before you go on TV. Like, maybe
yes.
Shave, you know, you just got out of prison. That's okay. You need to clean up. That's fine. Maybe don't shave, like, in the 5 minutes before you're going to go in front of national cameras. But, you know, the Shawshank Redemption return of Rod Blagojevich, I think he's failing to note that his sentence was commuted. He was not pardoned. He did do something wrong. He's done a lot of things wrong. He is just a shining example of the scum of corruption that comes out of Chicago. And he served his time. I think that if he would have spent 14 years in prison, I would not have thought about him until the 14 years mm-hmm. and first day when he got out and cameras were around him then. But I do understand that if he served 8 years in federal prison, that is some hard time. And I, along with the rest of Illinois, really probably want him to see the full 18. That's the maximum sentence I think he could have gotten, or 14. I think we all wanted to see him serve that, but mostly on behalf of all Illinois corruption. There's so much, and we're so sick and tired of it. It's disgusting. It makes it impossible for common sense to win in Illinois, and specifically in Southern Illinois. We just get the ooze and the drip of corruption out of Chicago. It passes through Springfield, and then it trickles down our way in just rampant stupidity on a regular basis. So you kind of want to see Rod Blagojevich suffer for all of that. But we're also seeing more subpoenas for some Mike Madigan affiliates right now. That was news yesterday. The Chicago Sun-Times reporting on that yesterday, that they're still getting closer and closer to Mike Madigan, where I think it all emanates from. So if Rod Blagojevich gets to serve 6 less years and we get to see some more corruption finally getting rooted out and them having to pay the price, then all right, fine. If Trump sees something there, I guess I'll trust him, but I don't care about Rod Blagojevich at all.
I'm glad you brought up the, you know, I don't have any admiration or any of that for Blagojevich. I think it was disgusting what he did, just like you do. I think 8 years was probably, to make the president's point, a long enough given what actually transpired there. But I always think it's good to remember who Rod Blagojevich was talking to when all of that went down. Let me play this for you real quick here.
That's another fucking thing that's so galling. No one will love Tony longer than me. Okay, so, but what if, and I'm telling you, this could happen, because I know how Madigan is. He says, I'll give you health care, I'll give you a capital bill, okay? I'll balance the what works with you to balance the budget the way you want to do it. I raise taxes on people, and you make Lisa the senator, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That puts me in a moral dilemma.
That was J.B. Pritzker and Rod Blagojevich when they were being, surveilled by the FBI when they were investigating. And now this guy's governor of your state. J.B. Pritzker's the governor.
I completely changed my mind, put him back in jail for 10 years. Everything I just said, you just forget about that, and you can put him back in jail and, you know, throw away the key. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I just think it's just amazing that now the guy who is governor was
involved in all of that, although not implicated.
You think that's the only conversation that Blagojevich and J.B. Pritzker had? That's the one of the ones that the FBI caught. I don't know what else the FBI has, but you think that's the only thing that Rod Blagojevich knows about J.B. Pritzker? You think that's the only thing that Rod Blagojevich knows about Mike Madigan? And he's a Trumpocrat now. I think if Trump says dance, I think Blagojevich does a jig. And I'm interested to see if this goes somewhere. If it doesn't go anywhere, I'm going to be pretty miffed about that because, I talk to Illinoisans every day. I am one. I live in the state. I love this state. This state is worth saving. And the people who I talk to in Illinois and the people who I talk to who are in Missouri who used to be in Illinois or who have family who are in Illinois want to see this state succeed. And there is so much good that is here, and they're so sick and tired of that kind of nonsense. So if there's some good to come out of here and then the president sees that, there are a lot of common sense Democrats who live in the state of Illinois who are paying taxes just like all of the Republicans. And so I'm hoping that in November, the progressive income tax, the governor, the one that we have right now that wasn't in jail, J.B. Pritzker, yet, he just gave his budget address earlier this week. And he calls it the fair tax. It's also the progressive income tax. They are one and the same. People need to understand they're the same thing. He's already budgeted to spend all the money that he's going to milk out of this progressive income tax that he says that the people of Illinois need to vote yes for in November. If you want to hand over right now, there's a flat income tax in the state of Illinois. That means if the state legislature wants to raise taxes on the wealthy, they have to raise it on everybody. That means if they want to raise taxes on everybody, that the poor are going, the lower income individuals are going to have taxes raised on them as well. They want to establish a progressive income tax. J.B. Pritzker has proposed 6 tax brackets where, like, the top 3%, he says the people like him, because he's the heir to the Hyatt hotel fortune, people like him are going to pay their fair share. Well, people like J.B. Pritzker also take toilets out of their houses to make sure they can sidestep property taxes. You think he's not going to figure out ways to move his money around so he doesn't have to pay these? People are going to move their money around, or they're going to move their homes and their businesses
right
out of the state. And when J.B. Pritzker says that's the way it's going to be, please everybody understand, that is just his proposal. If you vote yes on the fair tax in November or the progressive income tax, if you vote yes and they change the Constitution so that we are no longer a flat tax state, that means the legislature gets to set the income brackets. They get to decide who pays what amount of taxes. And if the legislature passes something that's far more aggressive and raises taxes on far more people than J.B. Pritzker suggested when he was trying to squeeze a yes vote out of the Illinois taxpayers, guess what? That's the way it is, and that's the way it will stay. You have to understand that the flat tax in the state of Illinois is the last hope for Illinois taxpayers to keep what they have earned protected. It has to be a no vote in November, and J.B. Pritzker is a snake in the grass when it comes to this, trying to tell everybody it's a fair tax. Fair for what? he says if you don't vote yes, he's going to cut spending for schools. Like, that's the only place in this Illinois budget he can find a dollar to save. Give me a break.
No, it's amazing. No, it's like it would be like giving up your cloaking device. You don't ever want to do that. I mean, if you've got one of those, you want to keep it. That's the only protection you have as an Illinois taxpayer. The only tax they can't touch right now without touching it for everybody is your income tax. So you've got to maintain that. I'm so glad you pointed that out, Annie. Before I run out of time, you and I didn't really get a chance to discuss the debate the other night. I thought it was interesting to hear Bloomberg's reaction afterwards. Go to cut four for us, please.
Look, the real winner in the debate last night was Donald Trump, because I worry that we may very well be on the way to nominating somebody who cannot win in November. And if we choose a candidate who appeals to a small base like Senator Sanders, it will be a fatal error.
I think the winner is Donald Trump.
Here's the thing about it, Mike Bloomberg, in my opinion. If you can't stand on a debate stage and beat Elizabeth Warren, who the other candidates have been routinely defeating, why do you think you can stand on a debate stage and defeat Donald Trump?
It's a dumpster fire. I mean, the whole thing is just... The whole Democratic debate was the most entertaining thing for me to watch, and that's because I'm not a Democrat. And I don't hate Democrats. I don't, you know, I know and love a lot of people who think politically very different than me, and it's a sad state of affairs. I've got people texting me who are on the left, and they're like, I think I have to go for this person. One of my good friends texted me just last night and said, I think I have to support Bloomberg. And I said, I think you do too, because the rest of them are nuts. I mean, Mike Bloomberg's the only person who's not promising to just completely turn this country inside out if they were to become the president. And there's no way that he's going to beat Donald Trump. Donald Trump would make dinner out of Mike Bloomberg. And the thought of watching Donald Trump take on any of those people who are on the stage, I mean, there's a part where it's entertaining, and then there's a part where I already feel sorry for Joe Biden. If Joe Biden were to just, like, slowly back off the stage, whatever stage he's on right now, if he were to just slowly leave, I think we'd all have, like, a gentleman's agreement to just be like, you done well, Joe Biden, and move along. You know, thank you for your service to your country. The rest of them, they don't have a solid message. The only message is orange man bad. And you know what? Yeah, we get that. You don't like the president. We understand that. But they're not presenting the American people any viable reason to support them. And it shows. And Mike Bloomberg, if he is the guy who takes it away from Bernie Sanders, the Sanders people are going to melt down.
They are. Can you imagine what this election cycle, and you and I were in the studio over at the old MS building there at Union Station in November of 2016, the night of the election, and none of us could believe what we saw happening with, and we were all up till 2 in the morning that morning watching this happen. Can you imagine what a bigger deal this is going to be if you've got a stated socialist as the head of the Democratic Party running against Donald Trump? This country will have never experienced a race like we're about to witness.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I said yesterday, I can't imagine a scenario in my mind where with the folks that we have right now up against Donald Trump, that Donald Trump doesn't have a bigger victory in November. But let's go back to 2016, and you know, I'll think about that very night. I hadn't come to the vocal conclusion there was no way Trump could win. But every state that ticked off that went red, I couldn't believe it. It was a shock. And then imagine being in the Hillary camp when that was happening. Right. You know, I don't want to put myself on the other side and have to deal with what a lot of those Hillary supporters, just the shock that they're still trying to get over now, even Hillary herself, that they did not win that night. And there's going to be so much at stake. The parties are going to be so far apart if it's a Sanders-Trump campaign. It's going to be really something. So that's why I say, if you're a Republican and you're a Trump supporter and you haven't felt comfortable telling somebody about that now, try to figure out a way to stand up for the morals, the values that you have, but also the policies, and make the tent bigger now, because you can't take it for granted. We don't want a big surprise like that in November.
Very true, Annie. Listen, always appreciate your time, and we'll be looking forward to the Annie Fry Shaded show today at noon to 3.
I'm going to tune in and look at that lighting on Facebook right
please,
now.
Please do. Tell me what you think. I appreciate it. All right. Have a good Friday
Mark,
morning.
You're beautiful.
You bet. Thank you. Be sure, of course, Annie streams her show live on Facebook as well every day. So go to the Annie Fry Show on Facebook. Give it a like. Go to the Mark Cox Show this morning. You can watch. Give it a like. You know, it's probably a good time to mention a little tease here for you of what this radio station is doing in this 2020 election cycle. As we get closer to the primaries, and then we get closer to the conventions, then we get closer to the election, we're gonna be out in the community a lot. We're going to be doing live remotes. We're going to have debate watch parties. We're planning great coverage for you all year long. Keep it tuned right here to 971 FM Talk. We're looking forward to it, and I know you are too. We're going to be back in a minute with Kellyanne Conway. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Follow Mark on Twitter at MarkCox971.
Hey, now well, that's not just jumping on my lap.
You've done some dumb things. Now I'll do dumb things again.
I already forgot what the hell I was going to say.
Me too. So we've had an ongoing debate in the studio this morning because I was complaining about the lighting on this studio camera here on our Facebook live feed. Felt like it didn't do my beauty justice, right? So I moved a light over here, and then I realized as daylight crept in on us, that the backlighting was screwing me up a little bit. So I closed the shade.
And that makes Denise unhappy.
Denise is not happy about that.
No. I don't care what I look like on the camera. And I'd like to see outside the window. But, so, and now you've shut the shades on me and I can't see outside anymore.
I'm sorry. Really, Denise?
It's all about me.
It's all about me. I don't know how to say that. I'm just kidding. I did put a light over here that I found that Glover keeps in the studio, and I kind of like it. I kind of like the look here.
But, now, can you just open the shade behind you now so I can see outside again?
Sure. As soon as I'm done here in a couple of minutes. By the way, we're getting ready to talk to Kellyanne Conway, anxious to get her thoughts on the debate, the train wreck that things have become for the Democrats this year. You know, Annie referred to it earlier. It's you know, from our perspective, it's pretty fun to watch. However, doing the flip test here, if I was a Republican and I was seeing this going on, knowing it's sort of like how you felt with, you know, with in 2012 when Mitt Romney, the field gets whittled down. Who are we left with? Mitt Romney, who we know a lot more about now than we did then. But we also knew even then that he was pretty much a, you know, left coast or a liberal East Coast rhino. And we, you know, ultimately he didn't disappoint us. So that's kind of the situation the Democrats found. Now, I felt Romney had a much better chance then against Obama than Bernie Sanders is going to have now. Van Jones probably had the comment of the week about the debate the other night. I thought this was pretty enlightening. Go to cut 20, please.
Listen, this was a disaster for Bloomberg. Bloomberg went in as the Titanic, billion-dollar machine Titanic. Titanic, meet iceberg Elizabeth Warren. She took him to task in a way that I've never seen in a debate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And she hasn't stopped since, in case you've missed it. You know, Elizabeth Warren is never going to be the nominee for the Democratic Party, but she's got enough money left to continue to be a thorn in Bloomberg's side for the remaining debates, at least for the next couple of months. And she continued attacking him even yesterday because here's what she wants. If she can't be president, she wants it to be somebody like Bernie Sanders. She certainly doesn't want it to be somebody like Michael Bloomberg. Play cut number one where Warren continued to go off yesterday on Michael Bloomberg.
Because we want to get the word out about this man on race and about what he does to women. The Democrats should not appoint someone who has a history of embracing racially outrageous practices like stop and frisk and redlining. And we should not have a nominee who has, we don't know how many times he's been charged with discrimination against women or with sexual harassment, and has just shoveled some of his money in to cover it up.
Yeah, see how scratchy your voice is? I mean, she hammered on him so much in the debate the other night, she can barely speak these days. So I think that that was just, you know, just absolutely fantastic that she just continues to hammer on Michael Bloomberg. He must feel like he hit a brick wall the other night, and he needs to fire a bunch of the people who surrounded him, who prepared him for that. That's what I want to know. I can tell you who would never let her candidate go online or on a debate that unprepared, and that is our guest right now, Kellyanne Conway, who's joining us this morning. Kellyanne, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and I'll be in Missouri tomorrow. I can't wait.
Oh, fantastic. What's bringing you to town?
I'm speaking at the Lincoln Day dinner in Springfield, and Senator Blunt, one of your two wonderful senators there, along with Josh Hawley, he's going to be doing a fireside chat with me, and I'm happy to go in my personal capacity. In a state that President Trump won by over 18 points, in a state that just is doing fantastically well, given your Republican governor and two U.S. senators there and members of Congress. So it's so funny you mentioned the debate the other night. This is the DNC changed its rules to allow Michael Bloomberg, a liberal billionaire, to take the stage, and never changed the rules to allow these minority candidates to continue to compete. They've been spit out of the Democratic primary process. Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Julian Castro. You had Kirsten Gillibrand running for president on a platform of, quote, women's empowerment, and I guess women weren't buying it. You had these governors running on climate change, on the fact that they had been two-term governors of Washington State and Colorado. They're long gone. And we're left with a bunch of billionaires and then people who hate billionaires. I like that Elizabeth Warren went after Michael Bloomberg, because Michael Bloomberg has nobody on his team who will tell him no, who will tell him that was terrible. You were unprepared. We're now digging a hole for ourselves. I think 2 days ago, Michael Bloomberg was unfairly seen as indomitable, invincible, electable. And then people got a good look at him. There's no proof. There's no evidence whatsoever he actually likes people, enjoys being in their company, wants to talk to them other than through a TV screen and in manufactured ads. And there's no evidence whatsoever that he's going to be able to go toe-to-toe on a debate stage with President Trump, who will be up there with his economic record, his deregulatory record, his record for farmers, his record on trade deals, his record on killing terrorists and elevating 190 federal judges and counting, his record on helping our farmers, helping our manufacturing base, helping our folks get health care insurance who haven't had it in the 10 years since Obamacare passed. Lots of people, still millions with no health care whatsoever. So people think it's so fun. I'm going to go run against Donald Trump. I'm just going to denigrate and castigate him. Ha ha. The mainstream media will back me up. Guess what, folks? You got to run against Donald Trump. You got to run against the Trump record. And it's not so easy.
Yeah, fantastic point. You know, Kellyanne, I watched the other day when the president was in California and he invited some farmers up. Guy walks up in a plaid shirt with his hat, baseball cap on, and I didn't really know what to expect. And this man eloquently spoke from the heart, and he thanked this president for saving his family farm by changing this Waterways Act that, you know, despite what they want to do in California. He's like, listen, you're choking to death these people who make a living farming in Southern California. So what a contrast to a president who's trying to help these farmers versus Michael Bloomberg, who degrades them and belittles them constantly.
Yes, and I grew up in the part of New Jersey that gives it the nickname the Garden State, Mark. I worked on a blueberry farm for 8 summers. I'm surrounded by people who are tilling the land and making, you know, they say, like to eat, love a farmer. That's the way I grew up, with those bumper stickers all over the place. And it is completely insulting to any line of work. We should be dignifying all types of career paths. That's why this president has taken action on water. You tell my Philly accent, water, in California and elsewhere. WOTUS, the Waters of the United States Act, was a big deal. They may say, oh, what a yawner. Let's go back and talk about climate change. Hey, folks, we're helping people here and now. And they were ignored by previous administrations. They are ignored by their liberal Democratic leadership, like Gavin Newsom, the governor of California and the state legislature there, that's turning their back on the homeless crisis now and turning their back on many farmers in California. This president is a wonderful listener and an even better man of action. He's a man of action in a town of talk, Mark. And you saw it with those farmers the other day. You see it with these new trade deals. Trade deal with China, first of its kind, written, enforceable. China is going to be buying hundreds of millions of dollars of goods and services from the USA, stuff that's made in the USA. You see the new USMCA, the old NAFTA is gone, the new USMCA, renegotiated trade deal with Mexico and Canada and the United States of America. He also negotiated new trade deals with Japan, with Korea. And this is important because people see the real people impact. They know it impacts them in such a muscular and robust and measurable way. And again, you hear nothing on the stage at these Democratic debates except the fact that, A, the president lives rent-free in all their heads. Hey, what's your plan on health care? Donald Trump's bad. Hey, who's your greatest hero? Not Donald Trump. It's just so weird that Trump is probably 50 or 60% of all their answers includes Donald Trump. That's the way to elevate him and reelect him. And I got to say, Bernie's getting a raw deal. I wrote a piece in the Washington Post last month. It's worth dusting off again, less than a month ago, and I talked about how electability is a fiction, and it's no match for electricity. And that's what Donald Trump has. So today he'll have his third rally in as many days out west, today in Las Vegas, 3 o'clock Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern time. And he has people camping out the night before in Arizona, in Colorado, in Las Vegas. You know why? Because they want to be part of it. This is not a political campaign. It's a movement. And it's a movement for the forgotten man and forgotten woman, where they now feel included. They're more prosperous. They're more listened to. They're more accounted for. And this president speaks directly to the people. He has this connective tissue with them. He cuts out the middleman. But I talked in that piece about electability and how, you know, Joe Biden's electable. He's not even delectable. now it's Michael Bloomberg's electable. He can't put a sentence together on the stage. He can't defend himself against his own record. So all the king's horses, all the king's men, all his money can't make him seem appealing to people that he doesn't even seem to want to be around. And then Bernie Sanders is electable, and not against Donald Trump, but hey, he won 22 states against Hillary Clinton last time. He beat her in states like Minnesota and Wisconsin and Indiana and New Hampshire. He won 22 states against the Queen Bee herself in the primaries 4 short years ago, over 13 million votes cast for him, over 1,800 delegates. So he'll continue to do very well here, and if he is denied the nomination going into Milwaukee, into the convention, you're going to see a real bloodbath on the Democratic side.
Fantastic. Kellyanne, listen, enjoy your trip to Missouri. I'm sorry I won't get to see you tomorrow, but please, on behalf of my listeners here, thank the president for us for staying strong in the face of this constant negative barrage from the media.
You got it. And the president loved that his last stop in 2018 was in Missouri, and he was there for candidate Hawley, defeated Claire McCaskill, really just talking about the record and the agenda. And that's what we all have to keep doing. This is about telling the veterans they have more choices in health care. The military just got his third consecutive pay raise. You know what I like to say, Mark? 2 dead terrorists, 2 Supreme Court justices, 2 new trade deals. That sounds like 2 terms to me. God bless you and your listeners. Take care.
Kellyanne Conway, thank you so much for your time. Outstanding. Wow. She's going to be in Missouri tomorrow in Springfield. For the Lincoln Reagan Day dinner, with more of those coming up, and we'll have more details on it. Let me get to a quick break here. 314-241-9797. Welcome back. Went a little long with Kellyanne Conway there. If you are caller 12 right now to 314-241-9797, you pick up a pair of tickets to see the Zac Brown Band on March 12th, coming up at Enterprise Center. Again, caller 12, 314-241-9797. Good luck to you. That's the last pair of tickets we have to give away this week. The winner will come down here and pick them up at the Bomarito Box Office And they're going to call you and let you know when the tickets are ready so you can come down and pick them up. Good luck to you. How about that? Hey, coming up, you've heard a lot about Medicaid expansion. Maybe you don't quite understand what that's all about, but there's a debate going on here about whether or not it's going to cost us one-third of our state budget or whether it's going to save us money. There are some people out there on the left who are pushing for this who want you to believe that we could give away more free stuff and it's actually going to save us money. So I called my friends over at the Show Me Institute, and Patrick Ishmael is going to join us in the next hour to talk about why that is not the case. The math doesn't work. We'll get to that coming up here about 8:10. Chanel Rion is joining me from One America News at 8:20. It's going to be a big hour, folks. You don't want to miss this. Trish Regan from Trish Regan Primetime on the Fox Business Network at about 8:35. We'll be back right after this.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.